The New Testament epistle of Paul to the Philippians, chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. A short course for men. Philippi, as it appeared in 200 BC, Philippi as it appears today. When the Christians at Philippi received this letter, what did Paul want them to learn? What does he want us to learn? Well, in these verses, perhaps our eternal and temporal identities, how to partake of God's grace, how to pray to get results, partnership in gospel ministry, how to stay hopeful, how to approve what is best, how to remain pure and blameless, and how to become spiritually fruitful. Most scholars feel that Paul wrote this epistle from Rome. Others feel he may have been in prison in Ephesus. The discussion revolves around how far Epaphroditus and Timothy had to travel. Now, who are some of the known persons at Philippi? Well, Paul, Timothy, and Silas, and perhaps Luke, according to Acts 16. Lydia, and the Christian brothers and sisters at her house, a certain slave girl and her owners who may not have been in the church, the Philippian jailer and his household. As a Roman officer, he was not married, but doubtless had many servants. Christians are called saints, overseers, and deacons. Then, of course, Epaphroditus himself, the messenger from Philippi to Paul, and from Paul back to Philippi, and Euodia and Syntyche, two women who had formerly been Paul's partners in evangelism. Paul and Timothy composed this epistle to the Philippians. In chapter 1, then, we read, "We are Paul and Timothy. We serve God's Messiah, Jesus. We are writing this to Messiah Jesus' dedicated followers who reside in Philippi city. These include your overseers and appointed workers. In synagogues and in Christian churches, the leaders were called elders, of which there were two kinds. Overseers, those who have speaking gifts and who provide guidance to the church, and deacons, those who fulfill various kinds of service, those who have serving gifts, and ensure that the poor have enough food. Verse 2, we want you to experience the kindness and peace which God our Father and our Lord Jesus Messiah give. Kindness, this is God's grace, that is, His power to do good. Peace, of course, means harmonious relations, both with God and with each other. God here is called our Father because He is our Creator, Provider, Protector, Guide, Redeemer, and so forth. But we also have a Lord, the rightful Commander, whom God the Father put in charge over us, the Church. He is Jesus, who is fully human and fully divine, called Messiah, that is, the promised Savior King who had been awaited for some centuries. What is Paul doing in this picture? He writes, I always thank my God every time I mention you during my daily prayers. I pray joyfully because you and I have remained partners in announcing the good news from the early days until now. Well, he gives thanks, that is, the Greek term eucharisto means to reflect God's grace back to him. By prayer, he means making requests to God. Weak prayers do not ask God to do anything that we do not believe he will do. Strong prayers make requests to God, believing he can do so. Then he does. And we are partners when we share in both the costs and the benefits of serving others. Christian men can pray together in any setting, and they pray for results. They do so because they have hope, which comes from receiving God's grace and peace. We do this with thanks, that is, recalling past and recent results. Prayers are of two types, those which we speak regularly and others which are spontaneous. And we are confident. We believe that God will always complete any work that He begins. We do this with joy, which is a fruit of the Holy Spirit, and we make requests that others will learn to love, to know the truth, discern what is best, approve that which is good, to remain morally pure and blameless in the sight of others. And we address this to God, who enjoys glory and praise. What do you see in this picture? This persuades or convinces me that He who began this good work amongst you will mature it until Messiah returns. Paul was persuaded because his prayers were based on evidence of God's work. It's a good work, meaning useful for a purpose, and indeed it is work. The term is ergon, from whence our term energetic activity. And this is amongst the Christians. It's a group effort. The pronoun is plural, so the preposition is among you. Mature then means moving towards a goal, which will be completed when Jesus Christ returns. What do you see in this picture? To whom is Paul making his case? Verse 7. It is my right to continue thinking this about you all, because you are always on my mind. Whether I am in prison or am defending and explaining the good news, you all kindly remain my partners. Paul often talks about thinking, which includes both the spiritual and the mental. Defending the gospel, meaning answering our detractors, and explaining the gospel, telling the gospel's content. Verse 8. God is my witness. He sees how much I long for you with the affection which Messiah Jesus gives me for you all. I also pray for this, that your love continue increasing more and more, along with understanding and all insight. Affection, the Greek term is intestines, refers to emotional love, whereas the term love, agape, is volitional love. When emotional love grows dim, then volitional love keeps us going. Insight, then, is mainly moral discernment, what is right and wrong in any situation. Verse 10. This will always enable you to approve the things which are most important. As a result, you will remain pure and blameless until Messiah returns. This is because you are motivated to do righteous work, which comes through obeying Jesus Messiah, which brings glory and praise to God. What is the ultimate test of morality? Well, it is done in obedience to Jesus and brings praise to God. Should you choose to continue with this course, then your assignment is to read the entire Epistle to the Philippians this week, then to study chapter 1, verses 12 through 30 in your own Bible or at netbible.org, and then visit our website, philippians.site, and memorize at least one verse.